fintech. So my name is Catherine Corrick. I am the training manager at the Open Data Institute, which we're really, really pleased to sponsor today. If you want to know anything about the Open Data Institute, we're right at the other side of this door, and my colleagues will be manning it and womaning it all day. So do go and ask them questions. This session is going to be with the lovely Russ, the beautiful Bruce. Bruce has promised me jazz hands. Russ has promised me slides. if you want to be following on the Twitters, it's hash OpenTech, and the OpenTech Twitter account is OpenTech UK. So without further ado, it's Russ for 10 minutes-ish, and then Bruce for about 10 minutes-ish, and then we'll have questions and it will be fun. So, you know, think about your questions that you like to ask. Make it as difficult as possible because, you know, it's Saturday morning and these guys have got nothing else better to do than answer your difficult questions. So, Russ, over to you.
Hello. So, this was meant to be a little bit longer than 10 minutes, but it turns out that I can't view my notes anyway, so I'm probably going to forget what I was going to say. So, I'm Russ, and I'm going to talk about electromagnetic field, which is basically going to be a slideshow of what I did last summer. This is only going to work if I can change the slides. Woohoo! So, back in 2010, John T, my friend, and I decided that we weren't busy enough running on ad space and with day jobs. So, and we also decided that we would kind of like something in the UK, which is similar to the hacker camps in Europe. So there's every 2 years there's one camp in Europe. There's one this year in the Netherlands called OHM, which is 3,500 people in a field with internet and things and talks. And so we were like, oh, that would be good. Let's not get 3,500 people in the field for the first time when we've never done this before. So we decided to put 500 people in a field with Wi-Fi and power to the tent and talks and other things like blacksmithing and beer. And so we basically all we needed was a pun, and so electromagnetic field resulted. So we kind of, this is an entirely non-profit volunteer event. We're a team of volunteers with day jobs, and we decided to organize this thing in our spare time, which was interesting. And not many of us had experiences running festivals before. So it turns out that the things you think are going to be hard tend to be not the hard things in the end. But the first thing we wanted to do was find a site. That's two slides. Oh yeah, and there's the top. So we wanted to find a site, and in the end, after much wandering around the country trying to find things, we settled upon this place in Milton Keynes, of course. And it looks nice enough, looks a bit idyllic in that photo, apart from the clouds, but it turns out that there are a few problems with it. It had good transport links, as you can see. So that was the kind of main problem. Well, that's the M1. It's a little bit loud. There's a sewage treatment plant there, which was fine during the event because the wind was thankfully blowing the other way. But during the setup, it wasn't very nice. And there's that little stream running down there is actually the outflow from the largest system of flood control reservoirs in Europe. And apparently they're not afraid to use it. So There's some protected wildlife on that reservoir down there, and they'd rather flood us than harm the wildlife. So thankfully it didn't flood. Nobody complained about the noise, despite the fact that we were all from London and probably didn't care about it quite so much, but nobody from the country complained about the noise, and the wind was blowing the right way, so that was good. Oh yes, I made a graph, because I like graphs. This is the graph of the river level, because I scraped the Environment Agency website. The vertical line is the event. So we were getting a little bit worried just before the event, but the red area is where it floods. So the major concern after not flooding was high-speed internet, because that's what you needed in the field. So we assembled a crack team of internet-to-the-field experts, and we put this thing together. This is a 30-meter-high mast with a microwave link on the top. The other end of it was in a data center down the road, and we put the mast up and decided... And we had all these surveys done before that said, yeah, that they'll have to be X high. So we got them up, got them X high, and we couldn't see one end from the other. So then we had to get somebody with a massive cherry picker to drive down from Doncaster to help us actually get it going. But we did get it going, and well, there's another one. And that was the network. I don't know if you can read that. I can't. It's quite simple. Literally, there's data centers which have worse connectivity than our field did. We ended up having a 400 megabit symmetrical internet connection with a 100 megabit backup link to... Yeah, I mean, and that's just the core of it. That's the that's all of the switches in various fields. But the problem is, attached to all these switches, there's Wi-Fi. Go back a bit. So the problem is, of course... If you're putting networking equipment in the field, it's going to get wet. So what do? You actually put them into portal use. This is a normal off-the-shelf portal loop, which has been upgraded with a Cisco 2600G switch and a Cisco wireless access point. The Germans have a name for this, actually. They call them Datenflow, because that's what they're doing over there. It turns out that's basically data loop. There's more graphs, because I do like graphs. We got about 1,000, nobody complained about the Wi-Fi at all, basically. And it's kind of telling that you get some of the best minds in the UK in this internet industry and put them in a field, and they can provide better Wi-Fi than most conferences have. So, you put a 400 megabit internet connection in a field and people only use 140 meg. What's wrong? We had full IPv6 as well, and all sorts of other fun, interesting things if you're interested in internet connections, which I am. Our network team didn't get... They weren't very happy with the level of usage. So this is nothing we had. We had this is a badge. This is a conference badge, which is actually a microcontroller with 2.4 gigahertz wireless there on the bottom. It has infrared. It didn't do very much, unfortunately, because we only got them 3 days before the event, and there was a small hardware bug. But they did flash the lights. And next, these were sponsored by the UCL Institute of Making, by the way, which is just around the corner. So next time they'll be better. This is the bar. It's under the M1, which is awesome. I've decided the best location for a bar ever. We had real ale in the field, and because the till system was written in Python, I could graph that as well. No, that's the bar. That's the graph. That's the amount of beer sold by hour. Which is quite good. The real reason for this talk is because I want to try and recruit you, because we're doing it again in 2014, next year, and it's going to be three times the size, and it's going to be at least three times more awesome. This is the view from the cherry picker that we were using to put the network link together.
So it's going to be on a new site.
It's going to be on a new site, yeah. This is a key issue here. We're not going to go back to the sewage works at one place, regardless of how good the bar was. We don't know yet. At the moment, we're trying to... hello. That's not meant to be there at all. Okay, that shouldn't be there. Anyway, if you go to the next one, that's it, my last slide. So, we haven't picked a site yet. We're in the middle of doing that. We've just about started organising it. Actually, 2 weeks ago, we did another event called Electromagnetic Wave, which was basically a taster, and it was on a boat, because that was a good pun. We basically only did that because it was a good pun. I think it's a good way of doing things. So, we basically need you to A, attend, and B, come help us do make the thing. So if you're interested in that, you're probably best off following us on Twitter. The website is still last year's because we haven't got that sorted out yet. That's one of the things we need to do. And that's about it, really.
Is there a date?
Ah, it's late summer. We can't pick a date until we pick the site, and we can't really, so it has to be kind of happening at the same time. Last year it happened first weekend of September. We're aiming for that same kind of time period, but we're not sure yet.
And do you need help with the lanyards for next time?
Maybe.
Okay.
those are a bit last minute, those ones.
Great. Now, while we do a quick handover from computer to computer, talk amongst yourselves. Think, how can you help Russ in the summer whilst we do some switching around?
I'm done with your talking now. That's enough. Quiet. You. You there, especially you. Be quiet. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Some of you know me.
Jazz hands.
Right. They'll be running around soon, so can I think I can get up there. I don't think, yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything in my shoes, so I'm not going to leave any surprises on the chair for people later. So I'm Bruce Sterling. I'm the chief plumber at Macedon C. And what I like to do is I like to fling elephants about in parentheses, because I like closure a lot, and I do a lot of stuff with Hadoop. But the stuff I'm going to talk to you about today doesn't have anything to do with Hadoop, really. It has to do with how much I adore the NHS. Who here loves the NHS? Fantastic. Really interesting news today. As I was coming in, there's a startup, similar space to the kind of place that we're in. They're closing their doors today. They have been running for 4 years. Big part of the reason they're closing their doors, they can't afford their health insurance for their company. When I was in the States, 6 years in the States, working as a full-time employee, every single year I was there, my health insurance got worse and got more expensive. The NHS is a beautiful, beautiful thing, and I love it. Healthcare free at the point of delivery is fantastic. And the reason we get that, how many people think, oh, we get this because we're taxpayers and this is tax money. Who's on the tax money side? Right. No. You're wrong. We got this because we voted for it. We voted for people over the years who said, you know, this is a good idea. We should be able to do this. And the nice thing about that is by voting for it and saying, this is just something that should happen. Everyone should have health care. And what's really nice about that is that it stops becoming, oh, well, what market drivers are there around healthcare? Because in America, the way you think about it is you think, well, you're going to get the healthcare you can afford, which might be an HMO, which means that it's rubbish, or you might be able to get a PPO thing, which means that you go out and you can find the doctors you want, and it's a market choice as to how much you want to pay or which company you can go to then get medical insurance through that company. And it becomes very market-driven. And so if you have, say, heart failure, how many people who have heart failure say, you know, I'd like to have that really good stuff, but I don't have quite enough budget for that, so I'm going to go for the budget healthcare option, because that makes sense. Who wants the budget healthcare option? You want the... Wow. I'm so confused.
Can I have the budget healthcare option?
You can have the budget healthcare option.
The budget healthcare option, it costs about a third of what American healthcare costs.
That's true. The NHS is fantastic for that. But the thing is it is a really good price because it's actually run really, really well and it's actually really, really efficient. Not because you're saying, oh, I want the cheaper thing. Because what really drives what type of healthcare you get in the NHS is science, and science is great. Who loves science? Yay! So I'll have you know, science is a great thing, but I'll have you know, I spoke to an anthropologist last night, very late. Yes, I did marry an anthropologist. And I said, dear expert anthropologist, and she said, shut up, I'm trying to sleep. I said, "Dear expert anthropologist, do you think it's safe to say that science is a human cultural construct?" And I say human cultural construct because aliens might have science as well, and they might do it a little bit differently, and plants might have science. Certainly plants have culture, and that's what our research is about at the moment, which is interesting. And she said, "Yes, of course, it's perfectly obvious that science is a human cultural construct." So the thing about it is that while there's science out there, and scientific method is great, it's run by us lovely people. And we do all sorts of weird things, and we're persuadable, and we have hunches, and we say, I don't think that, you know, what those experts are telling me are right. You know, what does NICE know? They've got a stupid acronym for one thing. I mean, you know, in America they call them death panels. I'm just getting back to the American medical stuff. But anyway, you know, what do they know? So science, it's great. It's great that what we do with medicine in this country is we drive it with the best medical science when we do it right. But the thing is science is run by us. Is there anybody here who's not human? I'm really disappointed. Is there anybody here who's only partly human? Cyborgs, right? A couple of cyborgs? Okay, fantastic. Anybody here who came on a bicycle? Bicycles definitely make you cyborgs. Don't trust you, cyclist. Only because I'm envious, because I'm scared. So, but what's good, because we drive it with science, because we do all this stuff and we voted on it, and we think this is something that we want to do as a country, is that there's data. And this is the data that I have. So here we go. Here we come up with the jazz hands. So what we have is we have this lovely data here that you can all see. Everybody can see that data, right? That's not too small at all. No. So what we have is we have Strategic Health Authority, Primary Care Trust, Practice, BNF code for some drugs, drug name, how many items, and then some other stuff and some costs and when it was actually prescribed. So who's familiar with open data? Don't fall asleep. Yeah, aniseed and peppermint, yes, they get. And olive oil gets prescribed as well. There's all sorts of great stuff on there. So what's great is that there's open data on this, so we can actually say, are we actually doing the stuff that's right? Because we can look at the NICE guidelines that are open, we can look at the latest science, and then we can look, and what this is a small sample from what is prescribed by every general practice in the country every month, rolled up to the monthly level. Which is great, because it's really difficult to get this out of private companies, but we can get this kind of stuff out of the public sector, because there are some people out there who cause a lot of trouble. So there's some jazz hands. There's going to be jumping as well. And I didn't twist my ankle. Hey. And what's great with that is you can make pretty maps. And everybody loves pretty maps. Who hates pretty maps? You hate pretty maps? Well, shut up, Duncan. Trouble from people all the time. I don't know. Heckling. So what this shows, there's a category of drugs that controls blood pressure and cholesterol called statins. And there are many types of statins. And what this shows is by Primary Care Trust, who is prescribing proprietary statins rather than generic statins. And the nice thing is there's been a lot of science on this. And the science says the generic statins are the ones that work just as well as the proprietary ones. And there's a big, big difference in price. Now, there are some instances where the proprietary statins are correct. Because, you know, there might be something extra in the pill that you react to, so you might want to have a slightly different formulation, and that's fine. But for some of these things, the overprescription is as much as 35%. And you can see Shropshire out there on the left. Pretty bad. I think that might be one of the worst PCTs. You can see Cambridgeshire there in the middle. That's sort of that pale color between the red on the top and the orange underneath. Cambridgeshire, actually one of the best. And then if you look, you sort of see, everybody knows where the M62 is, right? Runs from Liverpool to Hull. come on, I've got a funny accent. I know where the M62 is. So if you look at the M62 running from Liverpool over to Hull, and then you look at from sort of Newcastle down, sort of through York, and you go, wow, somebody's a really good drug rep through there. So it's not just statins. There's this list from the British Medical Journal from January 2011 that basically says there's £1.4 billion of overspend in the NHS. Now, this sounds like I'm knocking the NHS, but the NHS has by far the best generic drug use of, well, by far? Okay, let's qualify that. The NHS uses its drugs really, really well, gets really, really good prices on generics, and is doing a fantastic job. What's great is that we can help them to do better. So we can help them with the science, because the thing is, there is a really big variation from generic simvastatin up to proprietary rosuvastatin. From, I think the generic simvastatin is about a pound, and then you're getting up to 25 pounds. So that's a pretty big difference in the budget. And when we were doing this, so the way this worked is, last year, in a startup, in a program, two of us in there, a lot of experience doing other things, but you know, people said, so what have you done since you've been in the startup? And it's, not a lot. And so we went looking around and said, well, let's find some open data. Let's look at that open data, and let's actually crunch it. And what we found was we found £200 million a year of savings. And we put it on a map. And the obligatory XKCD, we actually made the map so that it wasn't following population, because last I checked, I don't think that Shropshire has the highest population in the country. Though again, I have a funny accent, so I could be wrong. So the thing I want you to remember as I finish up is that the data is out there. Speak to the Open Data. So who here is from the Open Data Institute? Raise your hand. Catherine, wake up. That's great. We should take the show on the road. The data is out there. Speak to some of the Open Data Institute people. They have great courses as well, and there's a lot of data out there. There's the HSC Health and Social Care Information Center as well. There's NHS Hack Day, which I mentioned at the beginning. There's Open Healthcare UK, who are doing some more stuff with this as well. Macedon C is going to be doing more with it. Open Healthcare, Ben Goldacre, and Macedon C were the three companies with help from the ODI who worked on this initially. And there's a lot more stuff out there. Like, one of the things we found is that with guidelines, funnily enough, if you have people near you, so that blue line, the blue and the purple line, if you have people near you, the blue and the purple, you are more likely to keep up to date with best practice than if you don't. So this is getting back to the social system of it. So there's science, and there's, oh, of course, the doctors are doing what science says. And the doctors, just like you, are trying to get by and might need some help. And one of the ways that we can help them is with open data. So remember, the data is out there. Go out there and make stuff. But do it responsibly. So one of the things about that chart, so the Cambridgeshire PCT, the thing that we found about that, the reason that the prescription rate was so good in Cambridgeshire PCT, why it was so low, was because the PCT had actually bullied all the doctors into it. So if you wanted to make the change, it's the PCT that you need to do, because they're the ones, so it's now CCGs, the clinical commissioning groups, they're the ones you need to persuade. So when you think about what you're doing, when you think about the hack, because this is basically a hack, just like you hack a computer, you hack systems like this. And just like, you know, you wouldn't try hacking a computer in a wrong way, you have to understand that these systems work in much the same way, it's just the buttons are in different places. So do it responsibly, do it well. Everybody likes a map, and tell a good story. And that's me overall. So thank you.